7. 4 buses, a train, another 2 buses, and 5 days later, Eli stepped onto the sidewalk in Pasadena in desperate need of a shower, some clean clothes, and at least one solid meal. The city reminded him a bit of Dover, a good-sized town with parts of a city squeezed in here and there. There were 3- and 4-story buildings of brick and concrete across the street from steel and glass storefronts. The weight of his pea coat pressed sweat out of his chest and back. After half an hour, he shrugged out of it and slung it over his arm. The sun felt oppressively bright and hot, and once again he found himself wishing he'd bought sunglasses in Boston. Half the people on the street either had a phone pressed to their head or held in front of them like a microphone. Most of the others wore tiny headphones. 2 wore massive retro-looking sets that covered their ears. Eli tried to catch the 2 or 3 people with open ears, but they slipped away into the crowd or into buildings. After 20 minutes of trying to catch a pedestrian, Eli switched tactics. He looked around, spotted a chain drugstore, and walked in. Less than a dozen customers, if he counted right, despite the noon hour and 1 cashier on duty. A paunchy security guard glanced at the heavy peacoat over his arm, then went back to staring into space. Eli found a granola bar and a Mountain Dew, 4 of his remaining $32 gone at convenience store prices, and waited until the 2 customers in line had concluded their transactions. The cashier looked tired or bored, possibly a mix of the 2. Eli put her at 15 or 20 years older than himself, not quite his mother's age. A few strands of silver highlighted the woman's hair. Her name tag had a dark, sticky spot in the shape of a T, followed by ORI. She took Eli's meager lunch, waved it over a price scanner, and asked if that would be all. Actually, said Eli, I don't suppose you know where the fork in the road is? The woman blinked and looked at him for the first time.
Sorry?
Her voice had an accent he couldn't place, almost turning her S's into Z's. The fork in the road, I'm supposed to meet someone there in, he glanced at his watch, in about an hour, but I'm not sure where it is. She stared at him for a moment, then she blinked twice.
Oh, she said, the fork.
Yeah, I guess.
It's easy.
She waved her hand at the door.
Go down Colorado,
she said, pointing with one finger.
About 6 blocks and turn left on Pasadena Avenue. Then just go straight until you see it, maybe 2 miles altogether.
Eli smiled. Thank you.
Where are you from?
What?
Your accent, where are you from?
Maine, he said. A little town called Sanders. You haven't heard of it?
Near Stephen King?
Not really, no. The cashier shrugged. She gave him his change and pushed his food across the counter without offering him a bag. Her eyes slid to the person behind him. Eli munched the granola bar as he walked down Colorado. It was a big, wide street, several lanes across, and his gaze kept sliding up the taller buildings to the sky. At Pasadena, he tossed the wrapper in a trash can and cracked open the Mountain Dew. Traffic on Pasadena Avenue all came at him one way. The road started out with businesses, but quickly became more residential. The houses had a very cinematic feel, as if he'd seen the street a dozen times in movies or television shows. Eli kept expecting celebrities to step through apartment doors or out of parked cars. The woman across the street could have been a celebrity. Her outfit showed either determined eccentricity or a poor sense of disguise. She wore a long trench coat and a swollen hat of brown leather, something between a large bonnet and a plush muffin, with a large brass button just over her forehead. What he'd first mistaken for an odd, heavy collar on her sweater had glinted in the sun and revealed itself to be a huge pair of sunglasses, or maybe goggles. She looked around with quick, nervous glances, waiting to get recognized, and locked eyes with Eli for a moment as they approached each other. She managed a weak smile when he didn't react, as if they'd shared a secret. He passed more apartments, a big complex that identified itself as the Ronald McDonald House, something he'd definitely seen on television, and a house that declared itself to be an English tea garden before he reached a wide open space. The narrow block between 2 roads formed a small park with some grass spiky bushes, and a few trees that included a huge, thick palm. A gravelly path led to an oval of sand and some kind of marker at the park's center, a narrow pillar of aluminum, or maybe steel, that stood 20 feet tall. Another minute of walking carried him past the park to an intersection. On the other side of the block, the road mirrored his, a one-way street running the other way. The little park was a triangle, not much more than an oversized traffic island formed by the two streets coming together to form a single road. No, not where they came together, where they split. The fork seemed normal. Houses on either side, a small apartment building at one end. A man worked a lawnmower across a distant lawn. Eli wasn't sure what Harry would be looking for here in just 20 minutes. Assuming he was even at the right intersection, Theo had made a blanket assumption everyone would know which fork he was referring to. The cashier seemed pretty sure, granted. Could it be possible the roads didn't split like this anywhere else in the city? What if it wasn't related to street layout? What if the fork in the road was the name of some trendy bar or club hidden in one of the nearby buildings? Those supposedly covered Southern California, and it'd make much more sense as a meeting place. Hell, it could be a cutlery store or travel agency or just a little bookshop with a catchy name. He waited for a cluster of cars to pass by and crossed the street to the corner of the park. What he'd mistaken for grass was a dense, low plant with swollen leaves. It reminded him of the brown-green seaweed that washed up on the beach sometimes. He wondered what the park looked like from above. What did the points of the triangle aim at? Maybe the short paths or plants formed some kind of symbol or... The steel monument at the center of the park. From this angle, it was less of a pillar and more of a futuristic one-piece signpost. The shaft flowed up and widened into a rectangular top that reminded him of a huge highway mile marker. Eli stepped around a few bushes and got a clear view of the monument's base. His mind froze up. Once again, he was struck with the surreal sensation of being in a movie. A Muppet movie.